Why, hello there. Good to be back with you here on the Bernie Miklas Show on my YouTube channel. Thank you, as always, for your support and for subscribing or getting the word out, hitting the like button, all your comments. Outstanding. Thank you very much. So I'm wearing my Navy, and this one's old, Navy football cap. Had this one for years. See how it's all smudged up here? Midshipmen are a 13-point underdog. Playing Notre Dame tomorrow. Navy's got a really good team, but I don't think they're going to be able to hang with the Fighting Irish, who play an excellent defense. So, but this, you didn't come here for the college football talk, at least not yet. I think I'm going to come back later and talk about Mizzou's chances and the situation they're in at Alabama, but also whether the Fighting Illini can give Oregon a game, because it's a huge point spread. So I'm already inclined to look at it in terms of taking the points with the Fighting Illini. Anyway, let's talk about the Cardinals, because there was some news this morning. Dan Caesar does an excellent job covering St. Louis area media matters. Had a really good story at stltoday.com. You can go see it there. And so the information I'm providing here, just so you all know, is from Dan Caesar's reporting, and because it's, I want to talk about some other things that related to that. But, you know, the Cardinals have been in limbo in terms of their local television contract. I mean, there have been a million stories on that. I have not had any special insight or information on it. I mean, I know that Bill DeWitt III has been working really hard to set up the Cardinals in terms of what comes next. What will be in place if Bally Sports Midwest, it's actually Diamond Sports, which owns all the Bally Sports properties, if they drop the Cardinals or they ask the Cardinals to stay in the contract, but at a greatly or a significantly lower rate, where the Cardinals wouldn't get nearly as much as they would get under the terms of the original contract. And this whole Diamond Sports thing's a mess as they continue to kind of slog through the bankruptcy proceedings. And, you know, a number of major league teams have had to turn or have had been kind of saved by Major League Baseball, which has set up its own broadcasting structure to pick up these teams and to make sure they can get these games televised in the team's markets. Like, for example, the Diamondbacks, Rockies, Padres, that was already happening. Now it's the Brewers, Guardians, and Twins. And the Cardinals could maybe be part of that next wave of teams that will turn to MLB to have distribution for their games. But they would not make the money that they've been making under the original agreement with Diamond Sports. A lot of this business of sports stuff's, you know, really kind of bores me. I'll be honest. It just does. It's like, all right, you tell me when the games are going to be on and where I can see them. Other than that, I'm really not that interested. And I know that sounds a little brusque, but it's kind of how I feel. I mean, I don't know what to say. But this was newsy in that some information came out. Dan spoke with the Cardinals vice president, who they brought in from Toronto a year ago or so, who's really smart, comes doing a lot of things there. Anouk Karunaratne, and I always pronounce his name wrong, and I apologize. I've not met the gentleman. But he's been working on this too, and I find it interesting that, in effect, he was the one that publicly went forward to talk to Dan Caesar about this. So he's been hard at work on this as well. So the senior vice president of business operations, Karunaratne, has basically told Dan Caesar, well, he did tell Dan Caesar that the contest the Cardinals are going to have next year, the televised games, will continue to be available on cable TV throughout our region. That part has not changed, but this is the part that's the news, and pardon me for burying the lead. According to Caesar, the Cardinals are confident for the first time the productions also will be offered for direct purchase via streaming throughout the club's broadcast territory. Dan Caesar adds, quote, with a subscription to the Telecaster no longer being necessary to receive them via that method, and this would end the in-market blackouts. Now, that's terrific news, because I'm one of the people that have been waiting for that option. So this does, and I know a lot of you feel the same way, direct to consumer, where I don't have to, you know, take out a subscription to DirecTV or any number of streaming services. I do have MLB.TV because I like it for a lot of things. I like it because I can watch the condensed games about 10 minutes at a time, where you can go through as many games as you want every single night and know what happened. And also, if you wait, the local blackout rules don't, in-market blackouts don't apply. Like, for example, when the Cardinals are playing a game, just a weeknight game at home, the only problem, it's well after the game. It doesn't happen instantaneously. But if you stay up late or you want to watch the next morning, you can watch the whole game because at that point the blackout's lifted. But you got to wait and wait and wait until it's actually put up. So I've always, as a fan and as someone who must cover the Cardinals and watch all of their games, which I like to do for the most part, you know, I want to have direct access to these games without having to jump through so many hoops. I just don't want to do it anymore. And this was a big problem for the Cardinals and all the teams that have been in this situation. And I know a lot of cord cutters have been waiting and have been very vocal, as they should, about this idea of these in-market blackouts are stupid. It doesn't only apply to, you know, St. Louis City and County and the surrounding counties. It doesn't apply just to Cardinals fans throughout the state, some of the rural areas, if you will. It also applies to Cardinals fans in this region because these in-market blackout rules by MLB have been absolutely crazy, really crazy and really mean, you know, like almost hostile. It's like I'm sure many of you have heard this, but like if you live in Iowa, for example, and I've heard from a few of you that live in Iowa, you know, Iowa's one of those territories where there's a lot of Cubs fans. That's where they have their AAA team, but there's a lot of Cardinals fans there too. Well, if you live in Iowa and you take out, you go and you don't know any better, you say, oh, this will be good. You know, I'm going to take out one of these MLB.TV subscriptions. And, you know, I can watch whatever I want, including the Cardinals, or if you're a Cubs fan, and the Cubs. No, you can't, because I was considered blackout territory for both the Cardinals and the Cubs. I mean, my goodness. Listen, I know it's a clown show, you know, in a lot of different ways, at the highest levels of Major League Baseball operation. But in this day and age, how you can continue to black out huge swaths of the nation because there might be a team within, I'm exaggerating on purpose here, there might be a team within 500 miles or something. It is like so contrary to smart business sense. So the Cardinals would not be telling Dan Caesar that they're confident they're going to be able to offer ball games, their games, directly to the consumer. Straight up transaction. You want to buy the subscription for that year, you just go and buy it, and the games will be delivered to you, and you have access to every game that's not on network TV. That won't change. But you'll be able to watch all the stuff that was on Bally Sports Midwest, and nothing will be blacked out, and you don't have to take out a subscription to, you know, a Bally Sports Midwest streaming service, or MLB.TV streaming service, or DirecTV streaming service, or Fubo streaming service. You can eliminate the middleman, right? Or the middle person. You just go. You say, all right, here's my information. Here's my card that you're going to keep on file. And you click, and that's it. Then you're on board. If, in fact, this goes through. But it sounds, listen, MLB is not going to let the Cardinals put this information out unless the Cardinals have been informed. Yeah, we want to do this. It's a go. And Rob Manfred has been saying this for a couple years. They want to do something about the local blackouts. However, I don't trust Manfred, so I didn't know whether to really buy what he was saying. Because he likes to say, oh, yeah, we know that that's an issue. We're working on it. And you're kind of like, Rob, come on, man. Is that a Pinocchio nose I see? You know, I don't trust him. But again, MLB is not going to be telling the Cardinals and one of their senior executives, yeah, go ahead. You can tell the media there that we're going to have direct-to-consumer Cardinals TV. And that'll apply presumably to every other franchise as well. Now, I like this a lot, and I will sign up. But if there wasn't direct-to-consumer telecast, the Cardinals would have to stay with Diamond Sports Group, as Dan Caesar laid out. They'd have to stay there, but it would almost certainly be at a substantially lower rate that they would receive in the rights fees. And then I already talked about the other option would be to go with MLB and let them be the carrier. But again, it would be a lot less revenue coming from television if that's the case. So the direct-to-consumer approach is logical and it's overdue, and I like it, and I'm going to be a consumer of it. But there is a but, and it has nothing to do with whether this will be available, because again, until it's officially greenlighted, we have to wait until it is officially greenlighted. This is not, shall we say, the optimal circumstances for the St. Louis Cardinals to be offering direct-to-consumer streaming services of Cardinals games where you pay to watch the games. I mean, you've been paying anyway. That's the way I look at it. I know I have with a lot of my TV arrangements here at home. But it's not like the Cardinals right now, obviously, are in the middle of that great run they had from 2000 through 2016. 2000 through 2015. Since 2016, they've missed the playoffs in 5 of the 8 full seasons. And as we know, they've been basically a non-factor, irrelevant on the postseason stage. And they've now missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. And then in 2023, they had the 91 loss season. It was their worst in a full season since 1990. The Cardinals are not exactly at the peak of interest right now. It's still a very strong baseball market. I refuse to be part of the parrots out there that because the Cardinals attendance or tickets sold, dropped to 2.7, 2.8 million as if this makes them like Oakland A's as far as home attendance, This is a strong, strong baseball market. Very strong. It's wonderful, except Cardinals fans are pretty fed up with the way things are going. And hey, they have the right to withhold their business like I have the right to withhold my business, or like any of you have the right to withhold your business from anyone who's trying to sell you something, right? I mean, that's the power of being a consumer. You get to decide whether to buy something. I don't knock anybody for saying, no, I'm sitting this one out. I'm sitting back. I'm not going to go to as many games. I don't really need TV right now either. I can keep up with them. There's a lot of ways to keep up with them on the internet, which is totally true. Like I do videos year round on Cardinals baseball, me and 5,000 other people, right? No, but all kidding aside, to get back to on track, the Cardinals are in a downturn. They're in a downturn. They don't really have star power. And I'm not being disrespectful to like someone like Mason Wynn, who's the new generation. And by the way, congratulations to him on winning the Fielding Bible Award for the best defensive shortstop in the majors. And I'm a big Fielding Bible guy. So when they make, and I know who's selecting these, they're in good hands. So Mason Wynn getting this award in his first full major league season as a rookie is a very big deal, because there are some excellent shortstops in Major League Baseball. So congrats to Mason Wynn, who to me is on the way to becoming the face of the franchise. So, but they don't have a lot of star power, not that Paul Goldschmidt moved tickets, but he's going to be gone. The Cardinals are exploring trades. They've had conversations with some of their players. They've let them know what's gone up, including Nolan Arenado. A lot of speculation. They've already told them they're going to try to shop them. I don't know. We'll find out soon enough. And Arenado's got the no-trade clause. Contreras has got the no-trade clause. Sonny Gray has got the no-trade clause. And on and on and on and on. So the Cardinals don't have a lot of stars. They're in a transition. They're in a moderate, they're entering a moderate rebuild, whatever you want to call it. Like I've said a bunch of times, I don't care what title you slap on it. But if there is some distrust and some disdain for the Cardinals, the fact that they're even going to enter into a moderate rebuild, right, where they're going to get younger. And by the way, last year, their average age was pretty old. So there is a need to get younger. But when you strip it down, depending on how far you strip it down, right, just because they're going to offer some of these players a chance to move on, or they're going to make other teams know that players are available for the right price, it doesn't mean this entire list other than Goldie, because he's a free agent, they're not going to bring him back. But, you know, it just depends on how many different players they would move. If it's a couple of players, well, you know, you at least still have some nucleus type ingredients here. But, you know, if you all of a sudden go into 2025 and you don't have Ryan Helsley or Wilson Contreras or Sonny Gray or even Nick Fetty or Nolan Arenado, and then Lance Lynn, who's a fan favorite, presumably will be gone. Kyle Gibson, who did a nice job for them, he will be gone. And one would hope that they could dump Miles Michaelis' salary on somebody. So, but I was going to say like machete. I don't know that. I don't think they'll be macheting anyone, but you know what I'm saying? If you start like expunging all of these names from the roster and you're going to go with the young players and John Mozeliak is still in place, I don't think people are opposed to the idea of young players. More on that in a moment. Not all people, some are. But a lot of you have just flat out told me as long as John Mozeliak is running the baseball operation, I'm out. I'm not going down there. I'm not going to be a consumer or a customer. Until he's gone, I'm out. And I believe most people are being genuine when they say that. So the situation is that they're kind of in this holding pattern, and 2025 is going to be a weird year because I'm personally excited by the fact that Chaim Bloom's going to take the thing over. I'm really excited, you know, by who he's hired already and then who his new assistants that he brings in one by one. All of these people will be very, very smart, and they will go out and hire other smart people. And as I've been saying on these videos, I want the Cardinals to be smart. I don't need them to waste more money on stupid payroll decisions. So I think there's really good stuff on the way to look forward to under new management. But as long as Mozeliak is there, there's going to be people who are just like, nope, I'm staying away. I'm standoffish. You've alienated me, and you can't win me back until that guy's gone. Again, I've heard that a lot. So I have no idea what the price would be for this direct-to-consumer streaming service. I'm just glad that it'll be finally offered to anyone who wants it, and we do away with these ancient prehistoric blackout rules, all right? But this ain't the best time to be selling those packages, you know? It just isn't. And this will be a good test case once this becomes official and once these direct-to-consumer packages will be available for streaming to anybody who wants them, no matter where they live. This will be a good test case to see how much enthusiasm there is for buying a new product, a new broadcast product, a new way of getting Cardinals games, what the enthusiasm or excitement level will be to be a customer of that and to go and buy and say, well, this is great. Yep, here we go. I'm signing up. And maybe people will want to wait until Chaim Bloom takes over. Maybe some people will just say, well, I don't really want to pay money to watch a rebuild, even though who knows, it may not be a harsh rebuild. But then again, if they're going to trade all of the players that we've mentioned here, at what point does it actually become a teardown? See, that I don't trust the Cardinals under the Mozeliak regime. I don't I don't really trust much of anything that they say, because it's, you say, well, we're going to cut payroll. They've owned up to that, but they don't say how much. They can't say how much because, of course, they don't know whether some of the players they are interested in moving on from or moving to other teams. They don't know if the players that have no trade protection will waive the no trade agreement. It depends on where the Cardinals maybe offer them a chance to go play. That would certainly apply to Arenado, and I think it would apply to, you know, Contreras and some others. So it's hard to say where this payroll will land in 2025 and how much of a rebuild it would be. But if all these names are gone, if all these names are moved on, then I'm gonna be coming back and talking about, well, you know, this isn't a moderate rebuild. This isn't even like a kind of halfway rebuild. This is an all-out teardown rebuild. Because isn't that what a teardown is? Where you clear out all high salaries, just about every one of them, and you go strictly, almost exclusively, with young players who are still ascending in terms of the salary scale and not making any kind of big money. And then you go fill in roster spots by making some moderately priced free agent signings or maybe making some trades. But if the Cardinals whack all these salaries from the books, at what point does everyone out there, and so I think some people have said this now, some of you, this is going to be a teardown, and they ought to just admit it. I don't know that it's going to be for reasons I just discussed, because I don't know how many of these names will be whacked off the payroll. I don't know. Just whacked out of the payroll. I do not know. And that's where that's how we can determine exactly what it is on the rebuilding scale. But even though it's a good thing that there'll be this service available, it's hardly the ideal time to be selling it for the first time, especially the people that, you know, and a lot of people that have cable TV in our area are going to stick with that, I assume. But interesting times for the Cardinals, to say the least, because we know they're moving in another direction. We know the payroll is going to be lower. We know that some familiar names will be relocated elsewhere. We know that they do have young players already in-house, some of whom are not really that young, if I may ramble a bit more. Like Brendan Donovan, for example, he'll be 28 in January. Is that a young player? No, it really isn't. Now, I'm not saying he's old, but that's not a young player. When I think of a young player, I think of a Jordan Walker, who's 22, you know, guy's 23, even Nolan Gorman, who's 24. I don't necessarily think of like Lars Nootbaar, who's 27. Alec Burleson is kind of in the middle. He's going to be 26 next season. But all these guys have played. They haven't played like the optimum amount, but they've played a lot. And they're not exactly, well, let's bring them to the big leagues to see what they can do. They don't meet that description. So they're younger. They're youngish. They're younger. They're not old. But a few of these guys are like kind of in the middle. So that doesn't make them young players anymore. Mason Wynn is young. Ivan Herrera is young. Victor Scott is young. Pedro Pajes is young. Jordan Walker is young. Siani's 24. I think he's still young. Thomas Sejesi is still young, obviously. Again, if you want to put Nolan Gorman on that list, I think you can, because he's still under 25, even though this will be coming up his fourth major league season. Young players would be like, if the Cardinals, if we see next season, J.J. Weatherholt coming to St. Louis, the seventh overall pick in the 24 draft, I think he's on a fast track. I can't predict he'll be up in 25, but maybe in the second half, you never know. It depends on how he's doing next season. Chase Davis, the outfield they drafted in the first round in 2023. He started really slowly, but he's been coming on strong. I don't rule him out being a part of Cardinals baseball at some point in 2025, probably in the second half of the season. And they do have some young pitching on the way. So when we talk about, well, you know, we're going to go with the young guys. They're going to go with, I think young pitchers will get a chance. Is Pallante young? He'll be 26 years old, or he just turned 26. He has 300 major league innings, but he only has 30 major league starts. He's not exactly young, but he's not old. He's still ascending, I guess, is the way to put it. Michael McGreevy, who impressed us very much, and the Cardinals did actually help him get better. Michael McGreevy would qualify as a young Cardinal because he's hardly had any major league experience, and he's on the rise. Even though it seems like Matthew Liberatore has been around for 15 years, he's still quite young. Ryan Fernandez is young, the reliever. Quinn Matthews, who was MLB Pipeline's minor league pitcher of the year, very exciting talent. He definitely qualifies as a young star, a young guy, soon to graduate to the big leagues. Tink Hentz is getting there too. And there are others. This isn't meant to be a full accounting, you know. So they will have a lot of young players. It's just that some of the people they're trying to sell to us as young players ain't really young players. They're either in between or actually when you're 28 in baseball terms, you still got youth on your side, but you're not young. You know, I think guys in their early 20s are young. So how big of a rebuild are we in for? We don't know that. And the people that are on the fence about taking advantage or taking the Cardinals up in their offer of direct-to-consumer streaming, I'm guessing, I can only guess, and I know you all leave some comments about how you feel, but I'm just assuming a lot of people in that category, it's like they're not ruling out buying the direct streaming from the Cardinals. They're not ruling it out. You know, they're not, you know, some people are saying never until Mozeliak's gone or whatever, maybe until Marmol's gone, you know, because it's guilt by association there. But I think people that would consider it, and that's the only people you can get at this time, the people that are actually willing to consider it, they're going to take a wait-and-see approach. They want to see how deep these cuts are to the payroll and how many of their players that at least had name brand recognition are going to be gone and not here in 2025. So the Cardinals are in limbo. They're in an interesting spot where they would normally, in better times, in terms of baseball winning and losing, in better times, this direct-to-consumer streaming would do great. It would be an overwhelming success. But now it's kind of tied with the way it's tied into how people feel about the Cardinals and how much they're willing to invest, not only their money, but their time. As Dan Caesar reminded us in this story that he wrote today, you know, the Cardinals' cable TV ratings over the last 2 years have dropped 47%. Now, there's a caveat because the Cardinals' local TV ratings, even though that took the big hit, they're still among the best in the majors, right? It's all relative. But when you see this franchise for two decades or more, just absolutely dominating in terms of TV ratings for the local broadcast, just dominating, just absolutely crushing it. And then you lose nearly 50% of the offense of the viewers, 50% of the viewership and the ratings, according to Nielsen. That is massive. And so that's another reason why I have questions about how popular direct-to-consumer streaming package will be. Because if so many people bailed out through the traditional model of watching Cardinals games, then what does that mean for a new venture like direct-to-consumer streaming offered to Cardinals fans? Listen, they have to go forward with it because in the long run, it's going to be best for them. And they have to get people used to the idea that this will be available. And when people decide to come back, no matter when it is, they decide to get their enthusiasm. I feel good about what they're doing here. I can see the progress. So they'll give the Cardinals another chance. You need to start this, whether it's a bad time or a good time. If you have it available, you need to offer it, even if the early returns will not be all that rosy, right? You have to establish it as something that will be there for your fans, and you're giving them an alternative and another option to consider. You must establish that. You can't live in fear of the fact that it may be a disappointing results at the beginning, right? You got to get it established, but I will be very curious after a certain amount of time, how many people actually buy this and think about, well, what would it have been like say in 2004 or 2011 or 2013, 2006? You know, that's the good question. But I'm glad that it's going to be available. Hey, listen, as always, man, thank you all for your approach, your approach to me, like not only just watching this, but leaving a lot of comments. That's a full approach right there. That's a full buy-in, as people say in sports. Let us know how you feel about this, because I'll be really curious to read your opinions. And thank you for watching the Bernie Miklas Show. I definitely will be back later. And that's it for now. Thank you.